believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. And no matter what we're going through, we can have joy because he left his throne and came for us. Amen. So let's praise him in the house today and bring your joy forth. Let the joy of the Lord of your salvation just come forth in your worship this morning. Amen.
Blessed is he, all that is within. I've got the joy, I've got the joy, I've got the joy. Your name is power. Your name is Jesus. Thank you.
invite some of your family of faith this morning. We're so glad to be with you.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you today. I hope you're glad to see me, too. If not, that's okay.
Oh, we're so happy to see you.
If you're watching on live stream, thank you for joining us today. Hope to see you in person next Sunday, but we're glad you're joining us online. Okay, hey, part of our fellowship right there and just saying hi to each other, but remember our giving is part of our worship. So if you have giving today, tithe or offering or something of that nature, there are envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If you don't see one, you can wave your hand around and one of the ushers will get you one. But again, as always, your giving and your faithfulness to that is appreciated. And in all things with the church, what comes into the church, that we simply follow the direction of God, wise stewardship, getting in on what he's up to, and then doing that, then what we do with our finances goes with that. So your giving is important to what we do. So thank you for your faithfulness. So let me pray over it this morning. If you have something, you can bring it down. Lord, we are here today because of you. And we're here today just to join together, to worship in unity together, to be equipped together, Lord, to fellowship, and that all the things that we do, it glorifies and it honors you. And our giving is of that also, that it glorifies you, it honors you, of the increase that comes into our life, Lord, and in obedience, the things that you teach us because of our giving, Lord. We thank you for making us into what you intend us to be. And as we give today, we simply live a life of faith in you. And we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. LJ's back there. LJ, if you'll throw up our visitor QR code, I'd appreciate that. So if you're new with us today and you have an opportunity to connect to our guest Wi-Fi, we'll leave this up for a few moments here. You can get that with your phone, and that takes you to a little connection page. If you fill that out for us, we'd appreciate it. It's just our way of connecting with you and getting to know you briefly, and I can reach back out to you. If you don't want to do that, in front of you there should be a red connection card within reach, and you can fill that out and give that to me afterwards instead if you'd like to do that. But if you're new with us, thanks for coming, or if you've been with us for a little bit and you haven't filled one of those out, we'd love for you to do that. So if you can take a moment as we're doing some announcements here to do that, I'd appreciate it. And of course, some things coming up. next Sunday, right when church is over, is our next edition of Next Steps. And what Next Steps is, if you've been coming here and you're considering making this kind of your home church, your family of faith, Next Steps is the time where we get to know you, you get to know us, we give you more details about the structure of the church, what we do with the finances, it just gives you details about the government system of our church, and also tells you about dream teams and small groups and all the other things that happen here. If you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up. Right when church is over next week, my wife and I and even Samara will get with you and spend maybe about an hour with you or so just to get to know you, answer questions about the church and all that business. So Next Steps, that's next Sunday. And of course, we are entering into the last week right now of our yearly 21 days of prayer. And every year in January, we set aside everything else we're doing, and we spend 21 days seeking the Lord and pretty much really dedicating the rest of our year to Him. It's not just the times of prayer that we do when we come together, which it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this week. The church is open from 6 to 7 p.m. where we gather for prayer. But also, the encouragement was during these 3 weeks of prayer that you take at least one day and fast and consecrate yourself to the Lord in that manner. So, but we're heading to the last week a bit. Thanks for your faithfulness in the first 14 days. Today's day 15, and we're going to finish strong. Amen. And I believe that God hears us, or why would we pray? Prayer is about keeping you in faith as much as anything. But we do believe that when we pray, God hears and God responds. Okay? And also, if you have not filled out a prayer card, and you don't have to put your name on it, but if you have a prayer request, we've been each night praying over all the prayer cards that came in. So if you never fill one of those out, they're at the back there, and just grab one, fill it out. Also give that to me, and we'll make sure to pray over it the rest of this week. Okay? So 21 days of prayer in the midst of it right now. But also, don't forget, men. We have a men's breakfast Saturday, February the 1st, 9 a.m. right here. Sign-up sheet back there for that. We love to get together. Iron sharpens iron. So we get together, eat some good food, and we talk about some things. It's a discussion time, and our subject on February 1st is the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So if you want to come prior to that, use that in your scripture reading time, and so we can talk about that when we come. But if you don't, you still come anyways, and we'll spend some time together. And also, just put a bug in your ear about this, February the 28th, it's a Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., is our yearly Love Your Marriage night. And we believe in strong families. Strong families start with strong marriages. And you got to work on your marriage. Margaret, how long have we been married? 31 years in June. That's a long time. And we're still together. Amazingly, right? No. Well, we work on our marriage. And we prioritize things in our marriage. And we talk about things. And if you don't work on your marriage, it's the opportunity for things to start to break down naturally because we're imperfect people. But also, just the devil just likes to break things apart. And if he can find a way to weasel his way in there, he's going to do it. So we need to make sure we're working on our marriages. So that's what that night's about, February 28th, 6 to 9 p.m. We provide dinner, child care, free child care. It's a free night. There'll be 3 sessions of some teaching, and there'll be time for interaction between you and your spouse. There's a sign-up sheet at the back for that, so we know how much food to order that night. But the theme that night is simply unified. Okay? So I'm looking forward to that. We're already preparing for it. It's going to be a great night. Now, last but not least, we're going to take a couple moments and do this, is February starts our spring semester of small groups. We do 2 semesters of small groups each year, February, March, April, May. We take a break in June and July, then August, September, October, November. We take a break in December and January. So February starts our next round of small groups, and small groups are vital to our church because we value relationships. And small groups is one of the ways, if not an important way, where relationships are strengthened and flourished in our church. And they're also a place where a person can help find freedom, because it's in the context of relationships and discussions that things can be brought out and talked about. And then we learn how to bear one another's burdens, okay? So small groups are a part of who we are. So having said that, and by the way, we prioritize small groups, and we want our small groups to be a strong part of our church. So having said that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce each of our small group leaders. They're going to tell you when they meet, okay? And then it gets a lot of information. But at the end of service, all the small group leaders are going to kind of stand down here. So if you want to come and ask more questions, you can. But then starting next Sunday on our backboard, there will be kind of a little poster where everything and all the details are listed. Okay, so having said that, Joy Fellowship, Bill and Patsy. Come on down, Bill and Patsy. This is Bill and Patsy. They lead our Joy Fellowship small group. And just real quick, tell them when you meet, the time, and where you meet, okay? You guys need to come to Love Your Marriage, all right? We'll push each other off. I'm kidding.
We just respect each other so much. Yeah, Joy Fellowship. Now, this is the fourth Sunday of each month. We meet at 5 o'clock downstairs, and there will be no better bakery and sweets in your entire life.
Oh. So there's food there. There's food at Joy Fellowship.
So everybody brings a covered dish. And then we usually begin around 5:30, and we stay no later than 6:30. Just depends how the night's going. We have a little Bible study, but primarily we have fellowship. That's really what it's all about. And it's a nice way to bookend your Sunday. Start off here in church, and then in the evenings you can come there. And so generally it's 50 and older, but we kind of ignore that rule because it's really open to anybody that wants fellowship. So you're always invited. And whatever I forgot to say, she'll tell you.
Did he cover it all?
He covers it all.
All right, good. All right, thanks, Bill and Patsy. All right. Four Sundays, 5 p.m. right here. And then we have a monthly ladies get together over coffee. All right, so Margo that leads that group, why don't you tell them when you meet, where, and all that business?
I mean, you don't have to drink coffee, but why would you not, is my thought.
So
the last Saturday of every month. Now, that's, there's a fifth Saturday, it's that one, right? Yeah. So it's always the last Saturday of every month. We meet at 9 a.m., and we have coffee. Sometimes we have food. I don't know. It just depends. It's kind of how we're all feeling. But really, it's just for the ladies to, again, it's fellowship. It's what it is. We meet. We talk. There's a lot of laughs. Sometimes it's really, there's some serious things that come up. But that's the point of it, right? Yep. We're sharing. We're just helping each other. I will tell you this. Sometimes I have left so blessed by something somebody else has shared with me, and it's just in the process of that fellowship. So,
all right, last Saturdays, 9 a.m., ladies' coffee.
Yeah. All right. Are you telling me I have to stop talking?
Yes. I'm kidding. Samara. All right, Samara's. And that, again, that's ladies only. Samara also has a ladies' group in our church. Tell them when you're meeting, and you actually have a subject to.
Yes, we're going to do a Lisa Turkis, I think that's how you say it, study on 1st and 2nd Kings. And we have switched the day this season. We're going to try to do the second Sundays of the month at 6:30. And it's a video format, so we watch the video and then we discuss afterwards. But I've heard this one's very good, so I'm excited to get into it.
All right. Okay, so that's a ladies' one also. And now we have a gentleman's one, one for guys, Don. Everybody say hi, Don. Don and Lee are newer to our church. Don's a former pastor, and he spent a lot of years in ministry. He has a lot of ministry resources, and I'm getting to know this guy, and he's a good guy. So he's going to be leading one of our small groups. So tell him when you're meeting, days and times, and your guys' subject.
We are going to do a group study starting the February 27th on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock to 7. And what we're going to be talking about is the men at the cross. Have you ever wondered what was going on in all of the gentleman's mind that was hanging around the cross, the soldiers, the Apostle John, the thieves? And we're going to take and break it down each week and look at these different guys and see how their lives represent ours. Because every one of us were represented at the cross in some way. And we're just going to take 8 weeks, all the way right up to Easter, and look at these guys and see how our lives can be changed and transformed because of the relationship we have with Christ because of the cross.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Don. And that's actually based out of a book that Don wrote, and we're going to be purchasing that book for those that are involved in that group. So Don's Thursday nights. Thank you, Lori. All right, Judah, another men's group. Judah, tell them your day and time and if you know what you guys are heading into.
Yeah, ours are usually the fourth Friday of the month. They have been at 7. We're going to push it back to 6, and we're going to have dinner. It'll be here from now on, so I'll bring some sort of dinner, and you're required to eat it if you come. So, it'll be edible. So
it'll be edible.
This season we're coming into, it seems, sounds like fellowship is the topic. So that's what we were going to head into as well, is fellowship in Christ with one another. We like to get together. We like to pray over one another. There's usually a word of some kind that comes out. But every now and again, we'll just get together and have something planned, but not really follow that. We'll share because guys go through stuff. And I learned when we started this group a couple years ago, guys need to talk. We need to talk to one another. There's total anonymity. Nothing goes outside that group. And so if you're needing to talk, you're a guy, come and share what's on your heart and be ministered to. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Judah. Yeah. All right. Now, the rest of these groups have to do with our older generation teaching the younger generation, which I love. So we have a group that does that every month. So we got Vinny and Tish. Will one of you come down here, or both of you? I don't care. Vinny's going to come down. And the food you guys were eating this morning was prepared by this group that met yesterday. So tell them real briefly what you guys do and when you meet.
Okay, Church Home Cooking meets the third Saturday at 11 o'clock. We take kids from ages 8 up, and we just cook with them, just being grandmas and cooking with them and having a good time. So if your kiddos would like to come and cook with us, we'd love to have them.
Right. Thank you. That's a good one. Now, there's two little side ones that are just a couple times. I mean, first of all, don't forget that Bill, who is up here with Patsy, he's doing a one-time session on budgeting. And what I know is that a lot of people have increase in their life, but they don't do the right stuff with it. Not wise. Bill is going to take time to teach you about budgeting. That's happening Saturday, January the 25th from 1 to 3 p.m., and there's a sign-up sheet back there for that. So if you want some wisdom from Bill, he's a longtime banker. He just knows money, all right? So Bill will help you in budgeting. It's going to be a good time not only to hear his teaching but to ask a lot of questions, okay? So you have a question about that. And also Tom, wave your hand around. Tom is putting together two times of teaching on electrical work, basic electricity. So I want you to tell them real fast, Tom, we're running out of time here, when you're meeting with the younger crowd and when you're meeting with the older crowd, okay?
I want to meet with the younger crowd right after church tonight.
Okay.
I mean after church today.
You just want to talk to them about those times that are coming up.
I'm going to pass out the course of study and things like that.
Course of study. Yeah. Check it out. All right. And when's the official day for that group to meet?
The first for the youth is going to be the 15th of February.
Uh-huh.
The first for the adults is going to be the 8th of February.
Okay, all right. So he's a longtime electrician, has a lot of knowledge about a lot of stuff. He's going to be teaching some basic things. I think it's good knowledge. So if you have questions about that, see Tom. And I think I covered all the small groups, right? Anybody that I missed? We're all good? All right, let's get our Bibles out. So I encourage you, get connected in one of those small groups. Ask questions to them afterwards if you want to. It's going to be a good time. Leviticus chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, and verse 45. We're going to go there in just a moment. We have been, and our goal is really, on these Sundays recently, is get down to what I call the genuine Jesus. We want to, and we should, we want to permeate our culture with Jesus, but he's first got to permeate us. But here's what I know, is that you can approach Jesus with assumptions, you can approach Jesus with ideas of what you want him to be, you can bring some things to the equation that maybe you've heard or were taught that may not be scripturally correct, And what we want to do is we want to get down to the genuine Jesus, because in order to do the things that he asks us to do, you first have to catch his heart. So I think Christians, they try really hard to do all the what. What am I supposed to do? Okay? But if you really want to get to the heart of what you're supposed to do, you got to get the why. Because if you start to catch the why, the what makes more sense. Okay? And we got to get down to the why. And the why is his heart, the reasoning behind not only the things that he does, but also the things that he asks of us. Now, the last couple Sundays, we've been talking about the table manners of Jesus. And for the Jewish people, it was very important not only who you ate with, but also very important who you would not eat with. And remember, Jesus was accused very openly of eating, sharing table fellowship with sinners and tax collectors. And he was so by the religious leaders, the Pharisees and people of that nature, because there was a certain religious system that they thought needed to be accomplished, and they sort of looked at themselves as the gatekeeper of it. Well, Jesus not only went around what they did, he kind of went through what he did, and it made him mad, and then they wanted to kill him for it, right? So his table manners were important, but there's another aspect that's happening. It's connected to that, but also can be separate from it. The Jewish people, and it's from the law, had set before them what were considered things that were clean and also things that were unclean. And they could be animals, could be clean or unclean. Places, objects could be considered clean or unclean. And certainly, there are even times the scripture would call a demonic spirit an unclean spirit. But also when it came to clean and unclean, a person could be declared clean or they could be declared unclean. Okay? So what I want to do, I'm going to read this in Leviticus, because I want to set up a story of Jesus that we're going to turn to. But Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44 and 45, it talks about someone who has been afflicted with the disease of leprosy. But let's see what the law says about that person. Where did I tell you to go? 45, okay, yeah, let's go there. Let's go 45, not 44. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, shall let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip, in other words, wear something on his head where only the eyes are showing, and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease, he is unclean. And watch this. And he shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside of the camp. So leprosy here probably is covering a wide variety of skin diseases. It may not be exactly what we know of as leprosy, but it may include that. But it covered a wide variety of skin diseases. I'm reminded of this story in Exodus 4, where God is telling Moses to go get the people out, and he's reluctant, and he's giving them signs that I am with you. Remember, he said, put your hand inside your cloak, and when you pull it out, it'll be leprous, white as snow, and then put your hand back in your cloak and pull it out, and it'll be restored like the rest of your skin. So leprosy was a known disease, and according to the law, it was a disease that separated you from everybody else. And it wasn't a separation to be mean to that person. They just didn't want this contagious disease to be in the camp. So unclean need to be outside the camp and to be alone. Now, a person that has contracted a disease like leprosy, it wasn't about the fact of the disease alone, but what we as people do is we have a tendency to attach stigmas to people. Right? I don't remember how old I was, maybe a young teenager, maybe before that, when AIDS became a very talked about thing in our world. And I remember very specifically It wasn't about the disease itself, which we didn't know much about. But stigmas were attached to those that had it. Like, you almost need to be afraid of this person. Stay away from them. And stigmas of how they contracted, all this business. It wasn't that they just had AIDS, but the person, there were things that they were labeled in a certain way. You see what I'm saying? Leprosy would have carried that. Not only did they have a disease, but look, they had to proclaim themselves unclean, unclean. They would yell that in order so you knew it, so you wouldn't come close to them. They were unclean with the disease. They had to claim themselves unclean, and everybody else that saw them said, they're unclean. We'll talk about it. Stigma, holy cow. And of course, Leviticus 5 talks about this. We won't turn there, but a person could end up touching something unclean, and that made you unclean. Like, if you touched a dead body in Jewish culture, you became unclean, and you had to go undergo purification ritual. So a person with leprosy, if the disease seemed to clear up, and they were healed of this disease, would go show themselves to the priest, they would go through purification rituals, and then they would be allowed to assimilate back into society. But the priest had to prove the fact that they were clean. But it wasn't just that the disease was left. Then they had to go through a purification ritual. Then you could go back and be with society. If you touched something unclean, okay, that made you unclean, you had to go and go through a purification ritual in order to be back into society. That's the way things were set up. Now, with that background, go to Luke chapter 5. Let's get back to Jesus here. Luke chapter 5. And verse 12. While he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Some sort of skin disease, maybe leprosy of what we think of, but full of it. In other words, he was probably covered with it. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, like we were talking with the story about Nicodemus a couple weeks ago, the reputation of Jesus was going before him. This man, full of leprosy, had heard about this Jesus, heard about things that he did, probably some of the things that he was saying, but his reputation came before him in much a way that he knew that this guy healed other people. And he says, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him, Jesus charged the leprous man, tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, and he healed them of their infirmities. But he would also withdraw to desolate, quiet, lonely places, and he would pray. See, Jesus, he was close enough to the outskirts of society to be close enough that a leprous man could come find him. In the cities here, it wasn't the same as the encampment where we read in the law where they had to live outside the encampment, but yet, this diseased man certainly would not have been able to worship properly in the temple. He wouldn't have been able to participate in the daily life. He would have had to be separated. And God who draws close to us is the God who is in the outskirts of society. And he readily goes there. to make himself available to those who have been rejected. Again, remember last week we talked about this. Jesus was not repulsed by people who were unclean or people who were sinners. He wasn't repulsed by them. But what happened here is this man was physically healed. And this is a sign that the kingdom of God has come. It's one of the signs. This man was made clean from his disease. But this story wasn't just about this man's physical healing. Go back to chapter 5 there, and let's see, verse 2. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "If you will, you can make me, watch this, clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him. He said, "I will," notice the wording, "be clean." There's more going on here than just the physical healing. There's other times that Jesus, in talking with people they interact with, he used the word healed. But here he uses the word clean. There's something deeper going on. See, in Jewish society, there was a thought that if a person was sick or diseased, it is because of direct sin in their life. Remember the story of the blind man? Jesus goes to heal him, and disciples ask, "Well, who sinned, him or his parents, that he is this way?" He says, "Neither of that. It wasn't because of direct sin." So this idea of being unclean is also in direct and some indirect ways connected to sin. Jesus healed people, often with that then forgiving them of their sins, because the one who can heal leprosy can also be the one who forgives sins. But it isn't always because of direct sin. It's not always because of a demonic spirit. There are much more times when Jesus healed somebody, and it's just a healing, versus times that he healed somebody and he had to deal with the spirit too. It's not always about sin, nor is it always about a demonic spirit. It is about that we live in a lost and dying and sinful world, and these are the ramifications of it. Okay? Clean. Jesus is getting past just a wonderful, incredible miracle to his heart. Signs and wonders, miracles, in which I believe, are never an end unto themselves, ever. If all you do is chase signs and wonders and miracles, you're missing the point. Is that right? They're called a sign for a reason. It's supposed to point to something, to show you something. Getting deeper into the matter of why things in this world exist, that we need to see God move in that manner. Yeah, so he's getting after this idea of becoming clean. See, this is the kind of thing that threatened the religious system that those like the Pharisees were enforcing. See, Jesus was claiming the unclean could become clean and sins could be forgiven, listen, outside of the temple system and outside of priestly oversight. And they didn't like it. And by the way, this was the system that God had given. But Jesus comes to fulfill the law and the prophets. He's come to reorder the temple system as we knew it. Because he is the one who gives, he's the one who fulfills, and he is the one to all that points to in the first place. This is why they wanted to kill him. So, LJ, slide please. See, catch this in your heart. The clean one, he overcomes the unclean. The holy one overcomes the unholy. the sinless one overcomes sin. And all of those things are all wrapped up together in one way or another. And this is what Jesus was doing. It wasn't just healing this man, but he was making him clean all the way through. Not just physically. Now, he said, watch this. He said, go and present yourself to the priest right away so he could assimilate back into society. Do the purification ritual, offer the offering, get back into society. You don't have to be alone anymore. But there's no mention of Jesus who, listen, he touched him, himself going through a purification ritual because he touched something unclean. Because the clean one overcomes the unclean. The holy one overcomes the unholy, and the sinless one overcomes sin. You see that? Jesus, listen. Jesus touched him. You know what's really interesting about that? If you go through the Gospels and see the different times that Jesus healed somebody, sometimes he touched them and sometimes he just spoke the word and it happened. He called Lazarus forth from the grave. He didn't go into the grave and grab hold of him. He said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Remember the faithless centurion? The guy's like, you don't even have to go to my house, but I understand authority enough to know. If you say it here, it's going to be done. So Jesus said it and it was done. He never touched the person. But I think it's interesting to note that Jesus physically touched this unclean man full of leprosy, touched him. I wonder how long it's been for that man since it's been that somebody touched him. According to the law, if somebody had come close, unclean, unclean. Oh yeah, you're unclean. I'm staying away from you. I don't want to get whatever you got. Right? See, God in flesh, who draws near to humanity, now then God in flesh draws near to us in a way that he touches those who are repulsed by other people. I read, it's been a long time ago, whether or not you believe us, I don't know. But the average person needs 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day for their emotional well-being. You ever hear that? Human touch in a meaningful way is important. Is that true? This guy, if he is full of leprosy, it's probably been a long time since anybody meaningfully embraced him or touched him. He had been excluded from society. When it comes to the human condition, there's not much worse thing than being alone. It affects everything about who you are. And the God who draws near to us in humanity is the God who went to all the people that felt alone and said, let me touch you in a meaningful way to let you know that you're not excluded anymore. Listen, you're welcome right here with me. That's what God's saying. And where you're unclean, I'll make you clean. Where you're unholy, I'll make you holy. Where sin abounds, I'll bring freedom. But let me draw near to you. I'm not repulsed by you. Listen, that is the heart of God. And you got to catch his heart. See, this man was drawn in a meaningful way of inclusion by the God of all things that goes way beyond him just being physically healed. He was made clean physically, but Jesus was getting way down in here to deal with a whole bunch of other stuff too. That is the God, listen, who cares about your entire being. Not just the God who just, well, let me just forgive you of your sins. Because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we need help with too. And he draws near to us in that manner. Now, I want to say, so some people say, well, what about 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Let's turn there for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 14. Paul writing here. He says some things, and then it looks like a quote in your Bible, and he's drawn from some different places in the Old Testament, Isaiah 52 being one. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this: do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership does righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Verse 15. What accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Verse 16. What agreement has with the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And here's where he kind of conglomerates some different things from the Old Testament. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I'll welcome you, and I'll be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Well, what about that? See, the Bible is not in disagreement with itself. Paul would have been fully aware when he wrote these things of Jesus touching an unclean man full of leprosy. What Paul's getting about here is don't mess around with sin in your life. It's just that simple. You willingly go to the unclean and participate in what is unclean, then you're missing the fact of what God is doing. So here we find this thing that you must wrestle with. The God who calls us out to be holy and touch no unclean thing as far as sinfulness in your life is the same God who, by example, drew close to us and touched unclean things. And you've got to bring these together in your heart and wrestle with them a little bit, because we are called to be a light in the world. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you can't simply do it from a distance. See, I think we want to be a light to the world, but we want to do it in a very impersonal way. But that's not how Jesus did it, nor is it how he deals with me. He is not a distant God. He came in human form to get close to us. You think about that. That blows that whole thing up right from the beginning. That the willingness to do the life of living with the Holy Spirit, that you have the righteousness of Christ and learn what it means to live forward sanctified, and that you learn what it means to be not just forgiven of sin, but set free from sin and live the way you're called to live, but at the same time, turn right back to those in need and say, I'm not scared to be with you. Because you need what I have received, very imperfectly, but you receive. You need it. And I don't want to stand, if you got Al in the back, I don't need to stand there and go, oh man, Al's unclean, you stay over there, I'm going to stay up here, But let me yell at you about Jesus and from the back. You need to get saved. You need what I, you stay there, but you need what I got. I was back there going, what are you talking? Have you lost your mind? But hey, I see somebody back there, and I don't go, that guy is unclean. That's a label. It's a stigma. Stop. We attach these stigmas to things, and that's just another way for us to push things away. I'm saved by grace. It's not me, so why would I be prideful in my own position? I say, hey, and I would walk back. What's your name? My name's Al. Oh, man. I don't know, crazy thought. Can I talk to you for a minute? Or say I work with Al. I'd say, hey, Al, want to catch lunch one day? And some self-righteous person, do you know who Al is? Man, I heard some things about his family. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know if you want to be hanging around that person. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, you need to stay away because of your possibility of jumping in sin with them. You protect your heart. I want to draw near. Peter wrote, hey, be prepared to share the reason for the hope that you have. Listen, and do it with gentleness and respect. Lest they have some reason to accuse you falsely. In other words, how you share the gospel means something. If you share the gospel with gentleness and respect, you still may get rejected, but you remove a lot of stuff that they'll falsely accuse you about. I don't want to see unclean stay away. No, man, I just, hey. If we were that way, why would you ever bring somebody to church that doesn't know Jesus? We have a thing over the door that's like when you go through the airport, if you got metal in you, oh, unclean, no, you can't come in, leave. You set off our holy barometer back there. You got to go. Can't come here. Get saved first, then you can come. What are we doing? What are we doing? We don't treat church that way, but when you leave, are you the church? Aren't you the church when you leave here? You see what I'm getting at? Yes, you must separate yourself and come out and be holy. But then he turns us right back around and says, now go be a light to the world. That's the heart of God that I think people struggle with. That he spent time and ate with and touched people that everybody else was saying, you got to stay away from them. That we would catch that heart. That when we go to be a light to the world, we go with his heart and not the way we think about it. Is that right? Amen. Let's catch his heart. We are not saved by a philosophy, nor are we saved by some ideas. We are saved by the literal acts of God in creation. Physically, in time, in history. And how he went about it means everything. And we see that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. I'll close up. Oh, man. You know, some would say, well, it was because he cried out. Then Jesus went to him. The only way that he could cry out for Jesus to go to him was because Jesus came first and was in the vicinity. We forget that part. He wanted to be clean. That's why Jesus responded. He could say that because Jesus was here. Amen? Lord, change our hearts. Change our hearts to be like you. So we can do what you've asked us to do in the way that you modeled for us to do it. Now, I pray for anybody here today that feels alone. I pray today that they know that you are very near. If they'll pay attention, they'll see you, they'll perceive you. That you begin to fill that void in their life of feeling outcasted and untouched. Lord, and I pray they understand that if nothing else, the church is here. It's the fellowship of believers. They can dive into it. And I pray for anybody that feels today their heart is far from you. That again, you are near and they just need to pay attention, perceive you, just cry out to you and you will respond in the fullness of who you are. And I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you for that. That you're here, you will never leave us, nor you forsake us. You'll be with us always, even to the end of the age, as the scriptures say. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, two things. A, first, small group leaders are going to be down here. Come ask questions if you want. B, if you want prayer about anything today, come on down. I'd love to pray with you. If not, we'll see you Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Be blessed as you go. Have a wonderful day.